Greg LaBelle is Assistant Professor of Political Management at George Washington University and a veteran of several presidential campaigns back in a time of kinder, gentler electioneering. I'm grateful to have access to Greg's insights and have him with us today on State of Belief Radio. Welcome back, Greg.
Thanks, Welton. I think it was a kinder and gentler era. I think you're right.
So Mike Huckabee managed to find a new low in a campaign season that was already pretty ugly to begin with. He invoked the Holocaust in criticizing the Iran nuclear deal, refused to back down in the face of public outrage, and his rhetoric received support from Rick Santorum and Ted Cruz, among others. Greg, how have we come to this?
Two words, Donald Trump. I think a big part of this is these guys who are in the lower echelons of this list of, I think it was 16 the last time I checked, they're figuring this is the way that they are going to make points right now. And so they're reverting to some of their worst instincts in attempt just to get some sort of attention.
Just be honest with me. We've been talking on State of Belief for years about politics. Did you ever believe we'd be talking about Donald Trump as a serious candidate for the presidency?
Never, ever, ever. You know that in the past he's always liked to throw the idea out there, and you know, because it gets him attention and so on and so forth. But the idea of him actually declaring his candidacy is something that I just never imagined he would do.
Yep.
So here we are.
Well, it was somewhat refreshing to hear Jeb Bush come out in favor of civility in the presidential race. But how credible is he in doing that, considering his own political reputation?
It probably does strain credibility to a certain extent. But, you know, the interesting thing is this all makes some of the candidates, particularly Jeb Bush, I think, look pretty moderate. Mm-hmm. When you've got Donald Trump out there with his daily outrage, you've got Huckabee sort of jumping on that wagon. And I think, you know, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Santorum in their own ways doing the same thing. It gives Jeb Bush a little bit of breathing room, because comparatively, he doesn't look crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Presidential candidates, especially conservative ones, spend a lot of the early campaign months at gatherings with various degrees of Christian sponsorship.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not surprising that religious rhetoric bleeds into their speechifying. Have there been instances in the last couple of months that went beyond the pale, in your opinion?
Ted Cruz is just one of the guys who seems to be willing to say almost anything. And, you know, he's talked about how religious liberty has never been more threatened in America than right now, today. Cruz is really making a pitch for these folks. And, interestingly enough, I think he's also trying to, assuming that at some point Donald Trump will fall by the wayside, which may or may not be true, with all the money that Donald Trump has to throw at this, and he wants to pick up those supporters. So Ted Cruz, you know, remains sort of way out there. You've got Santorum taking on the Supreme Court, talking about five unelected judges redefining the foundation of society. Rand Paul has a new book, by the way, coming out, Presidents and Their Prayers. I looked it up on Amazon.com, and I was interested to see that the two books that were recommended based on my selection of that was Michael Savage's latest book on how progressives and radical Islamists are trying to destroy Western civilization. And the other book I thought was even better. It's just called The Witches. So, you know, it's a free-for-all out there. It's an absolute free-for-all. And I think a big part of this is focused on that debate in the beginning of August. They're trying to get enough attention to get their numbers up so that they're in that top 10.
And do you really think this has been intensified by Trump?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because he's taking all the air out of the room. This is a guy who comes out, it's like the outrage of the day. All the stuff that these other candidates are saying is sort of taking, at best, second seat to whatever Donald Trump is talking about today. So, and it's frustrating the daylights out of them. So they're all trying to figure out how to do it. And, you know, Bush went into this saying that he wanted to do this in a different way. And I have to give him some credit. He seems, by and large, to be sticking to that. He has avoided, in most cases, I think, jumping on this sort of crazy bandwagon. The question is what that means for him in terms of getting votes as this process goes on. And I don't know.
the Republican candidates in the primary, have any of these guys or the woman involved said that God called them to be president?
Well, yeah, sadly, a number of Republican candidates have jumped in and pointed that out. Scott Walker, when he announced, made the statement that he was running based on what his understanding of God's plan. Ben Carson, we know, has often said that God was directing him to do things. And once again, he's saying, I believe God will make it clear to me if that's something I'm supposed to do. There are messages that are being sent out to those voters, and it's all about the godliness of the pursuit that I think is important to know. But, you know, some of these guys don't have to. I mean, you look at Rick Santorum, who went through this 4 years ago, and it was quite clear that that was sort of his motivation in all of this. This becomes part of the message, that appeal. Rick Perry is another one. I mean, this is a guy who held prayer and fast days in Texas so it would rain, much like 17th century colonial leaders did. In some ways, they don't have to say it directly because there's so much else that they can say and do that sort of makes that clear. They're sort of dog whistle kind of approach to politics, where you say enough things in the right way, and the people who you want to get the message, they get the message. They understand what you're talking about.
In the election 4 years ago, all of the candidates who claimed God's endorsement made God look like a bad politician.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's that old Lincoln quote, the question is not whether God is on our side, but whether we're on God's side.
I agree. How significant is it that Fox News seems ready to unilaterally decide which Republican candidates fit into the national spotlight?
Yeah. Some people at Fox News, most people at Fox News, for different reasons, are probably already really sorry that they went down this road, because I think we've only begun to see the discontent among the candidates as we get closer to the debate itself, because there's an arbitrariness to this that really just doesn't make sense. They would argue that logistically they have no choice with so many people running. But you're right. Fox News creates a first tier and a second tier, and that's the first time that this has ever happened, certainly on this scale. They've made that decision that, you know, 10 of them will make the debate. It's sort of like the daytime and the nighttime Emmys. You know, the little guys get the daytime show, and the people who really matter, according to Fox, end up getting under the Klieg lights for the big show.
Okay, tell us what to make of Bernie Sanders and his phenomenon.
Well, I think that Sanders certainly has struck a chord with a large number of liberals, and they find his approach really refreshing. He's tapped into that anti-Wall Street sentiment. He has also tapped into that desire for someone who's unscripted out there telling the truth, whatever that means. So there's a great deal of interest in him for that reason. I suspect, and we've seen this before, maybe not quite as dramatically as this, but we've seen this before. I think as time goes on, I think that the appeal, as voters get closer to actually having to make choices, some of that appeal, I think, is going to wear thin, because I think you'll hear more and more talk about wasting my vote. Mm-hmm. I love Bernie Sanders. I think he's great, but I don't want to waste my vote. Mm-hmm. And so they may move in another direction. If Hillary Clinton continues to dominate the field, sometimes in spite of herself, I think a number of those votes will go there. If for some reason Clinton continues to be increases in that level of unacceptability, Martin O'Malley may begin to pick up some of those votes. Mm-hmm. Martin O'Malley's a smart guy. He's out there working hard, and he's barely registering in the polls. But I think some of that, as we get closer to actual voting, I think some of that Sanders vote probably peels off a little bit because of just that basic concept of strategic voting.
Greg, is it fair to say that all of the questioning and criticism of Hillary Clinton by members of Congress and various committees is taking an unfair toll? Is that stuff partisan, or is she bringing some of this on herself?
There have been some significant gaffes that we're all aware of, going back to the statement about how when they left the White House, she and the president were flat broke. That was an example of a tin ear that is hard to match. I think the campaign and the candidate are doing better, but I think the problem is, the challenge is, again, back to the media. You know, the media is always looking for a story, and they like to prop up people who are sort of underdogs sometimes, and they like to kind of hammer on people who are doing particularly well. But the other issue here is, I think the media also tends to create a framework in which to see a candidate, a sort of narrative about the candidate. And so the stories all tend to focus around that narrative. And I think, unfortunately for the Clinton folks, a little bit of that narrative is now about Hillary Clinton's tenure and her gaffes. And so the media sort of looks for those things and I think amplifies them beyond probably what they deserve.
Mm-hmm. What else are you going to be keeping an eye on during the next month or two? In other words, what external forces could have a significant impact on the way the race moves forward?
Money is going to be obscenely present in this race. And the question becomes, as we saw 4 years ago, when one or two very wealthy individuals propped up a candidate like Newt Gingrich, who was able to stay in the race long beyond where he would have in any other time because he was being financed by one wealthy guy out in Nevada. I think the super PACs and these individuals, the work that the Koch brothers are doing and so on and so forth, may prop up some folks on the Republican side beyond what they're entitled to in terms of what we would usually measure as a reasonable approach to these candidacies. Mm-hmm. So the question is, does anybody actually drop out, fall by the wayside before we turn the corner into the fall, or is that outside money so prevalent that those folks are going to continue to stay in and, for their various reasons, continue to take advantage of this to promote their messages, whatever they are? So money is really going to be the thing I think we need to watch for the next few months.
Greg LaBelle is Assistant Professor of Political Management at George Washington University. Having worked inside several presidential campaigns, today he serves as director of the semester in Washington Politics as well as the Native American Political Leadership Program at GWU. Greg, as always, I am thankful for your presence and really appreciative of the contributions you've made to State of Belief Radio.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Wilson.